Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
You need to stay safe.
Yeah. You get off if you need to. Seek some kind of protection, however.
Yeah.
Room, whatever. So, yeah, that's wild.
Good thoughts, vibes, prayers, everything, whatever going to right now.
Hang in there, okay? This is wild.
And doesn't matter if it's a few miles away or not. Stay safe, please, please, please.
Yeah.
I grew up in Kansas, and I remember they can change direction real fast. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Sorry, didn't mean to kind of...
All right.
Let's start over again.
This is amazing. I've never seen a more full packed chat room. This is incredible.
It is. It's amazing.
I want to say thanks for everybody that made it out tonight. I know there's little kind of quirks here and there with the with Ustream, but it seems like we got it all worked out. So that is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And Ima said that she told him to come, so she brought them all here. So
nice.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get started, and we'll do the official intro, and we'll get going.
Okay.
All right. Oh, Carla's here. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evil Regal's representing.
Yeah, they
are. Nothing wrong with that?
No,
okay.
No, it's fantastic. Right. We got a few of them, actually.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to another live, action-packed, Once Upon a Time...
Never a dull moment.
No, Once Upon a Time fan podcast.
Yeah.
And I am Jeff Roni, feeling a bit under the weather, but I am here nonetheless.
Yep.
Because we got a show to do.
We do.
So... It kind of looks like it's a little quarantine unit over here. I've got some sinus stuff and water and all this. Man. So, anyhow, I am joined by the lovely, the wondrous, the non-knitting tonight.
Right. Colleen Roni.
All right.
And I'm not knitting tonight because I'm playing in the chat room.
Yeah. So, this has been quite a week. I don't want to go into too much detail, but a number of people... have had a rough week. So I just want to say,
yeah,
let's now kind of ease into the weekend. Let's forget what happened. I know that Colleen had a rough week with a lot of stuff at work.
And the weird thing is, you know, normally I say, oh, it's full moon, because people do tend to get a little nutty around full moons, but it's been a week past the full moon. I don't know. It's just been, there were times this week that I was thinking to myself, did I step into a parallel universe?
Yeah.
So I'd had enough of Thursday. And so those of you that follow me on Twitter know that I pretty much called out Friday and said, yo, your brother Thursday was a little pain in the butt.
Yeah.
I'm not taking this crap from you
yep.
or I will go ninja on you. And I did. I totally went ninja yesterday on Friday and it submitted finally. So.
See, Torty's been sick too all week.
Man.
See, I'm telling you.
It has been
nuts week.
A lot of people have had a crazy week. So, and it didn't stop because, I may be a little blue blue tonight because I had I did have to work last night in the middle of the night. So I was up till about 3 o'clock in the morning, then had to get up early. My niece's 14th birthday party was today. Very special, very awesome party. And so I'm a little discombobulated because I had some errand running to do, and I came home finally and just said, I got to take a nap. I'm dead. So I did. And, but I'm here. I'm here. So
it's going to be kind of a different show this time. It's going to be a little kind of a lower key show, but, we do have some really cool stuff to play and to talk about. So, I'm glad everyone's here. And
okay, Auntie, I'm sorry, Marlene, she has to go because the tornado is headed right her way.
All
right.
And take care.
Yes, please be careful and take care. So,
all right, Brenda's daughter's 13th birthday was today, so her party was today. So,
well, here's a little funny thing. My niece's birthday is actually in February. Everyone's going, wait, what? But in February, we were in Las Vegas for her cheerleading competition, so we couldn't celebrate her birthday then, and my sister really wanted to do something special for her. She meant to do this last year. Excuse me. It's kind of a thing my sister does with her kids when they turn 13. It's kind of that, you know, going into adulthood. You know, the Jewish faith does a bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah. Yep. But we're not Jewish, but just she does something sort of similar with her kids. And so it was kind of a rite of passage. And it was a really cool day. It was really, really sweet. A lot of women gathering around and giving her just words of wisdom and stuff. And it was really, you know, these are women that are special to her and her life, friends and family, of course. And so it was really cool. It was really cool. So hope your daughter had a great birthday today, Brenda.
And I'm a freebish mention that today is Robert Carlyle's birthday.
Yes, it is.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an interview that was done at Comic-Con.
Oh, sweet.
With one Lana Parrilla and one Robert Carlyle. So let's go ahead and play this.
Cool.
I play the Evil Queen, the infamous Evil Queen from Snow White, and I also play Mayor Regina, who rules this fictional town called Storybrooke in Maine.
I play Rumpelstiltskin, and I also play Mr. Gold, who runs this fictional town in Storybrooke.
No, I do.
Is it fun playing sort of bad guy characters?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Tons of fun.
I don't like playing a good guy.
And it's fun working together as villains. It's been a joy. It's been great.
They're going to run off into the hillside. I think that's what's going to into an evil hillside somewhere. You know?
We're going to cause havoc.
And is it satisfying as actors being able to play two characters and sort of find the differences between them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never really done that before, but I guess, I certainly enjoyed it in the pilot. Looking forward to doing a bit more of that.
I mean, it's almost like every actor's dream. You're like, wait, I want that role. No, I want that role. Wait. Yeah. I get both. So it's been a lot of fun, and I think for both of us, if you don't mind, I think we've both are, if we haven't already, and we will continue to, but we're on the journey to continue keeping, these characters connected, but also showing contrast between the two, which I think is interesting, you know, and they are the same. Mm-hmm. But
they
Yeah, they come from the same.
Split off slightly.
They do split off, but there is.
But you said into the previous interview that I think is brilliant. I think there's more. There's probably more danger in Storybrooke than there is in Fairytale Land.
Yes. You know what I mean?
And the characters are probably more dangerous in Storybrooke than they are in Fairytale Land.
It's kind of like it is our world.
Danger of the real world.
That's why we dream of fairy tales and the enchanted forest and gingerbread houses.
And if you could sum up the series and sell it in a sentence, why should we tune into Once Upon a Time?
Lana Penny is, I mean, she's f***ing brilliant.
That's, I can't argue with that. No.
I would say it's going to work across the board. I think that's the kind of the obvious thing to say, but it's true. I think it can work for, sorry, work for children, and it'll work for adults alone. And I know I witnessed that myself. I watched it with my two kids, two of my kids who are 7 and 9, and my mother-in-law and my nanny. And everybody loved it, and they all get different things from it. And I thought, well, that's great. It's the first thing I've probably ever been involved in that might play right across the board. That's interesting.
And that, I was an English major. It was a one sentence answer. And
so cool.
OMG.
So
cool.
So that's okay. a little gift.
Literally, I need to figure out a way to make him as my ringtone saying Storybrooke. I love the way he says that. Yep. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I am like palpitating a little bit. So yeah, he could read the phone book to me and I'd be happy because that would just be amazing.
So,
and she, you know what? She just seems like the sweetest person. You just like want to hug her and like go talk to her because she seems like she's super, super nice.
Well, even though she plays an evil character on
the
show.
That's the point.
Henry, Jared, has said that she's the nicest person in the world.
Which is, again, a testament to how amazing she is. I mean, they all are. That's just, it boggles the mind when you talk to these folks on Twitter, when you see how they are on Twitter, when you hear these interviews with them, when you see them like we did at the Paley Fest. Oh my gosh. They're just the nicest people. They're very down to earth. But then you see these characters they play and they're so intense and they're so amazing and they're so wrong and so right, and so it's just a testament to how amazing they are and how gifted and talented they are. So yeah, I'm gushing a little bit.
Okay.
You think?
Just a tad.
Anyway.
So we did not have a a voicemail show. There were two voicemails that came in and I want to play them. So here is one from one of the peeps in Cali. So it's very, very interesting. Not too far. So here we go.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Brian from Rancho Cucamonga, California. And I had a question about Henry's adoption. We know Mr. Gold brought Henry to Storybrooke 10 years ago, and Regina had no idea that Henry was the son of Emma. We have also inferred from Emma's superpower in the earlier episodes that Regina does not love Henry and that she has used him as a pawn in the past. So why did Regina adopt Henry in the first place? Did she just want a son to be part of her happy ending? Or maybe something more sinister? Something as powerful as the curse to transport an entire world of people, I would think, would need a continuing supply of magical energy or sacrifice. And we all know what happened to the last Henry. What event happened 18 years after the curse was enacted, in which everyone was frozen in time, and nothing should have changed to cause Regina to want to adopt a son? This is a mystery that has been dropped since earlier episodes, but I think is going to come back in a big way. Just curious to get your guys' thoughts on this. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian, so much.
He's got a really cool voice, too.
Yeah.
He's got a good radio voice.
We have a lot of cool folks.
And for those that were kind of laughing about, he's from Rancho Cucamonga. I know it's a funny little name, but it's a town in the Inland Empire here in Southern California. It's up tucked up near the mountains. I have a friend who lives there, and it's a nice place to live, actually.
Yeah.
It's very, very hot, though, in the summertime. So, anyway.
Let's talk about the adoption of Henry.
Yes, because that is something that has kind of been pushed, I think, a little under the carpet, tucked in the, you know, back shelf. It's still there. We kind of all sort of mentally think about it, I think. But we don't really delve into, why exactly did she adopt a little boy 18 years after the curse was invoked? Right? Because that's exactly when it would have happened.
Right.
So what happened 18 years after the curse? Why then? Why not any other time? Does she know that he is Emma's son?
Well,
that's kind of wacky when you think
about it. I'd have to watch it again, but I thought that there was kind of an inference when Gold was talking to Regina.
Yeah.
I think either that or he put a little bug in her ear about it.
Yeah.
So you know what would be nice is, you know, you're the mayor, but I think you would be have a fuller life and adopt a child. What do you think?
That's a possibility.
And then, of course, that sets up everything else.
Right. Or maybe, you know, there's a baby that needs a good home, and I know that you would love to have someone in your life. Why not adopt him? It's kind of interesting. Yeah. And here's another interesting question. So he knew that he was Regina's son.
Right.
So he was watching Emma. He knows where Emma was the whole entire time. How does he know that? I mean, I know he's awesome and I know he knows everything.
Right.
But at the same time, you kind of go, wait, I want to know how he figured out where she was, who she was, all that good stuff.
Well, let's break it down. Okay. So no one can leave Storybrooke and something bad happens if they do. Right.
Right. Okay. Right.
So when Ruby talked about leaving, Granny had a heart attack.
Right.
Now, Gold left.
Did he though?
To go, well, okay.
Did he actually leave? Because all that was said was he arranged for the adoption from
fair enough.
From Phoenix. Right.
So yeah, you've got the internet, you've got Who's Your Mama, I guess you've got Who's Your Kid, and they can look and find adoption situations, you know, here and there.
Yeah. But I mean, it kind of makes you wonder. You kind of go, okay, wait. How is he keeping track of Emma? Because again, you know, we know that she was found by a 7-year-old boy on the side of the road. Did maybe he help place her where he could keep track of her because he was there too? I think that more than anything else is going to be a real interesting storyline to figure out just exactly how Gold has kept track of her, how he knows where she is and who she is, etc. I think there's so many factors to what happened when the curse actually was enacted. How did everything kind of fall into the real world place,
right,
so to speak?
Well, it is. I do believe that Gold is behind the whole adoption thing from the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the plan. Well, and I would imagine that he somehow got the book to Henry as well.
I would imagine he probably did. He probably gave it to Mary Margaret so she could give it to him because she's the one who gave Henry the book.
Yep. And I'll bet you that it's going to come out that he had it in his shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he either went to the school and said, you know, well, Mary Margaret, I have this book, you know, that I've had in the back room, and maybe you can read it to your children. It's these fairy tales. As a matter of fact, maybe why don't you give it to Henry? He seems to be, you know, a boy that would really enjoy these type of stories, you know, to do whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot more to Mr. Gold than meets the eye. Even though we know that, I think there's even more that we are not even, like, thinking about, that we're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm very excited to see that.
Yes. So that was the first voicemail, and now we have the second one. Here we go.
Hey, it's Tyler from Seattle. And I just wanted to bring in a little thing that I got thinking about. When we finally see who August is. Someone had mentioned that he's showing Emma the light. And so that instantly made me think of Tangled. I mean, that's the main thing is I see the light, you know, that's the kiss the girl of Tangled. And, you know, it's my favorite Disney movie of the last decade easily. So I just wanted to bring up that maybe it's possible that he's a combination of Eugene Fitzherbert and Pinocchio or something. It's still a mystery as to who exactly he is. I think I agree that he's Pinocchio and something else, but it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, he's a writer of some kind, so I'll be interested to see how it turns out. I can't wait. And when actually is the next new episode? Because someone told me that there was one this weekend, but I thought it was still a ways away. So if you guys clear that up, that would be great. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah.
I think it's the 22nd,
The
right?
22nd. It's yeah. next Sunday yes. is our next new episode. Mm-hmm. And I guess tonight, not tonight. Sorry. Don't get excited. Sorry. It's tomorrow night that they're just replaying, I believe, What Happened to Frederick is the episode they're playing.
I believe so.
Tomorrow night. So, yeah. I love Tangled a lot. I thought it was really, really good. And who knew Zachary Levi could sing? Wow. And I do love that song. I hear that song. I listen to the Pandora Disney channel, which is the Disney children and family, whatever it is. It's a channel that Pandora just creates, and they play that song quite a bit. And I hear it almost every day, and I absolutely love it. It's a great song. So, I mean, yeah, I can see we're pulling that line out of it. He did kind of mentioned, you know, helping her see the light, which is part of the theme of that song. So yeah, I don't know, maybe he could be part Flynn Rider, Eugene Fitzherbert, and Pinocchio, but I don't know, we'll see.
Well,
I'm hoping that we're gonna see soon, because I'm really just like, I want them to clear this up. There's so much speculation going on back and forth, and I just really want that to be cleared up. Just frankly just want to be clear up.
Now let's go down this path here.
Okay.
So Tyler brings up Tangled.
Yes.
I noticed for the only female that has long hair in town is Emma.
Yeah.
Now, she did not come from the fairy tale land. Well, she did. Okay, well, let me keep going.
She did.
For some reason, she got to keep her hair growing at this rate. Now, maybe it was because she was outside of Storybrooke. Maybe not. But the rest of the females in town have shorter hair.
Right.
Now, there was a point in time where there were... Yeah, Ruby has longer hair.
Ruby has long hair.
Okay, that's fine. But
Ashley has longer hair.
Okay. The idea... Well, just taking it apart, that's fine. Anyway.
Yes.
So, but the discussion that Emma may be Rapunzel.
Okay.
Because of her blonde hair.
Okay, but here's
where... Has been bandied about.
Here's where I would go one step further with that to kind of solidify that, if we want to go with that theory. I'm not saying it is that's a, you know, I mean, I like it. I think it's an interesting theory that she could be Rapunzel herself. The whole point of Tangled was that Rapunzel was kept away, locked in a tower,
right,
by her evil, wretched mother,
and
quote unquote.
That would have been the bell thing,
right?
Okay.
But who? She's a princess and doesn't know it. And so when she meets Flynn, when he climbs up into her tower, accidentally trying to escape from the king's guards, you know,
okay. She
discovers and figures out she's the missing princess.
The only reason why I lean toward the idea that Emma might be partially Rapunzel is because if she is the savior, then the hair could have healing properties. But
sure.
It doesn't show itself.
And I don't know that, you know, I just happened to look in the chat room and I see that there's, you know, a comment that Eddie and Adam have repeatedly said that she's just Snow and Charming's daughter.
Oh, okay.
She's not any other fairy tale character, but I do like the fact that there is a definite comparison to the Tangled story in that Rapunzel didn't know she was a princess. She was, you know, and Emma also similarly does not realize she's a princess.
Okay.
So I think that may be, and we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But I think that may be the only connection between those two stories. Who knows?
I just, the long blonde hair always is kind of, but then you got Ruby and never mind. Can I cut this out? I want to cut this out. This is going to be what people remember. Jeff thought it was Rapunzel. That's crazy because Eddie and Adam, I've got the, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. Honestly, if you think about it, there's little connections that you could kind of say coincide, but then most stories kind of all do anyway.
I think it is fun, and it's a good kind of a mind exercise to mm-hmm. kind of put all the pieces together of what has not been finished yet.
Yeah.
So I do think that that is kind of important, because when you see it coming, you'll be prepared. For instance, we're talking a lot about August right now.
Yep.
But not many people are talking about Dr. Whale. Once we saw that he was not the big bad wolf, then he kind of dropped off the radar. So
a little bit.
So Once Upon a Time is kind of like Survivor. There are these people that make a lot of noise and a lot of action, and everyone says, "It's hey, what about that person? What about that person?" But the other people are kind of not.
Flying under the radar.
Right. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But like Ginger, right?
Mm-hmm.
She calls in the sheriff's office all the time.
Right.
But well, what's her deal?
Where is she? We haven't seen her.
And Ernst. We haven't seen Ernst yet. We know he's an ogre and we know he's a burly man.
Yeah.
But anyway. So it's good to keep maybe a little log of all the people that we haven't seen their story yet. They mention a mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different things. And I know that Eddie and Adam in the WonderCon mentioned we'd like to do Mulan.
Yes.
... So anyhow.
So we'll see.
Anyhow.
There's so many stories to tell and so many directions they could go with all of it. And so far, I'm loving what they're doing with what they have.
Yes. So let's go ahead and start at the bottom. And we will start with an email from Larry. Okay. Let's see. Colin and Jeff, there was a conversation in the last podcast. Wow. I haven't been drinking. I always say that.
I know.
Anyhow, there was a conversation in the last podcast about where King George was when Snow and Charming are getting married. Not sure, but since Snow is the daughter of King Leopold, she would be royal. And note that when Regina busts into the wedding, Snow's words to the crowds are, "She's not a queen, she's just an evil witch." We obviously haven't seen that part of the story yet, but clearly something happened after King Leopold was killed, and Snow's wedding to depose her from the throne. Is this April 22nd yet, Larry? So, anyhow, well, okay.
Yeah.
So he's one of those pawns on the side of the chessboard.
Yeah.
That's kind of there, but
King George or Leopold?
King George.
Right. Yeah, I think we've all kind of looked for him, but we don't see him anywhere in the crowd. I haven't seen him when I've looked back and stuff, but who knows?
Right. I definitely need to go back and kind of go through the crowd myself and see, because I know that I see some ladies with pretty wild hats, and then that reminds me of the shepherd.
Yes.
When they had all those
right.
ladies with wild hats. So
right, so
they never went to
know.
The wedding. So.
Well, and they were part of King George's, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Entourage.
No, I don't want to say entourage. I just want to say part of his loyal subjects.
Court, okay.
Yeah, court maybe, but yeah.
All right, and I did see some strange hats in the King George marketplace too. Some ladies were walking by.
Yeah.
They had some pretty wild hats. It was kind of like the Fifth Element or something.
Well, yeah. So we'll see.
All right. This email is from Louisa. Here we go. "Hey, guys. Since we have a big hiatus until April 22nd, which is Louisa's dad's 50th birthday."
Oh.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dad.
"I decided to write a more general theory question I have about the show. In the show, the characters know about this fairy tale the same way we do. Emma comes from the real world, yet she knows about them." Well, she came from fairy tale, but I get what she's saying.
Yes.
She was raised outside of Storybrooke.
Yes. Right.
"Even Mary Margaret knows them and is familiar with the Snow White story, even if she doesn't know it is her own past. Even though only 28 years have passed, these tales have been around for centuries, having been passed on from generation to generation. After Hat Trick, we found that it's possible to travel between worlds and dimensions. The question remains is, what's the time difference between them and what happens to the people that cross over? Is it like Narnia, where years there equal minutes in our world? Or is it like time travel, and people who have documented those stories, like the Grimm brothers, have been going back and forth for ages, or is it something else? Do you want to talk about that? You want me to finish the
email? If there's a different point, then let's talk about this.
Okay, let me continue. It connects. Okay. My theory is closer to the Narnias, where the time passes differently in each dimension, but I'm looking forward to listen to what you guys think. Okay, and then, so let's talk about that.
Yeah,
that
let's do talk about that. That is a fascinating. We've assumed that it's all very linear and that it's all, you know, like she said, passing centuries as it goes. But yeah, what if there's like some sort of time bending or what have you, like it is in Narnia? When you walk in the wardrobe, it's minutes, but it's days, weeks, months, years in Narnia.
Well, right. And just to throw it out on the table, is there a way to turn back time? Just saying.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I mean, well, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Inception. Remember how in Inception they said that if you're under for 10 minutes, it's actually a few hours or what have you. And you're under for an hour, it's a week. And then 12 hours is like a month or some crazy amount of time.
Right.
So, I mean, when you are in a dream, time does seem to last longer than what you really are in the real world, so to speak.
Right.
So I think there's a connection. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant thought. Well,
and maybe the 28 years seems shorter, because that was the one thing I remember that Manny said initially is that Ashley was pregnant for 28 years. But what if 28 years seemed not too long?
Well, right, because again, so, you know, you think about that. 28 years in the real world, was it really 28 years? We're assuming it was, but again, there's so much to this that we just don't even understand, because we haven't seen how they got to the real world. How did they transport to the real world, so to speak? We didn't see what happened after the curse was enacted, other than the first little bits where the castle kind of just disappeared.
Well, Manny in the chat room said it was only 1 year, and that kind of would make sense, is that maybe, let's say the pregnancy drove the appearance of time, maybe.
Maybe.
So it was 28 years, but it did seem...
Shorter?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, they're outside of time, aren't they? Technically.
Right.
Because they're fairy tale characters. They're timeless.
Right.
That is one of the things that we've always said about some of these stories, is that they are timeless. So, I don't know. It's an interesting, mind-boggling topic, but I like it. I think it's really cool to think about.
And if it is possible, I'm not saying it is, but let's just keep going here, is if it is possible to turn back time, I wonder what the payment would be for that. That if you could turn back time, quote unquote, for all, that maybe you have a lot less time. So maybe it costs you a lot. So
interesting.
All right. So I will continue to read.
Okay.
I also wanted to point out something you guys said about Hat Trick. When you guys were discussing it, you talked about how Mary Margaret was able to go from Jefferson's house to the station. You talked about Emma being the one in the cell disguised as Mary Margaret. Even though I love that theory, Emma is not yet a believer, so magic wouldn't work, and it might have been something more real. In the scene outside the house, when the camera showed the city, you can see and hear a motorcycle in the horizon. We know who has a bike. We know as a bike, August. There were also spoilery pics released before the episode that showed a few scenes with August, meaning that he was supposed to be in the episode. I want to pause it right here. They have cut so many scenes out because I saw pictures of Archie and David Nolan talking in the rabbit hole that was cut out. So it's wild. Because they released these pre-production pictures, and then you watch the episode and you go, well, where's the scene? I saw the picture.
Mm-hmm.
They filmed the scene.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big DVD box set then.
Oh, can't wait.
Because there's going to be a bunch of scenes in there that we've never seen.
Yeah, deleted scenes is going to be awesome.
All right. So meaning that he, but his scenes were cut. The only one that stayed being the bike in the horizon coming to the rescue. Huh. Thanks again for doing such an awesome podcast. You guys are great at sending the love, but know that we love you guys too. And that is much appreciated. And
it is.
We do. And it's a wild world doing a podcast. There are just so many things out there that you wouldn't consider. And it's not in a vacuum. You're putting it out there for the public and all kinds of people. So thank you for that. And we do know that it is much appreciated. So,
and that's interesting because I'm going to have to watch Hat Trick again because I don't recall hearing the motorcycle, or maybe I did and it just didn't register with me. But I'll have to check that out.
You know, and she's bringing up a kind of a valid side point is maybe he took her.
Right. Because a motorcycle would be a heck of a... it'd be faster in some respects because he could cut through places that a car couldn't.
Right.
So... that may be how she got back. We just never saw that. And we don't know. So interesting.
Very, very interesting. Thanks, Lou. Yes. Just so much for that. Excellent. So we will go on. All righty, people. Okay, here we go. Now I'm a Freebish. See, I'm a fan of I'm a Freebish.
Yeah, I know you are.
That could be somebody's name. I'm a fan of I'm a Freebish. Anyway, we know that she is an evil regal to the core.
Yep.
We love evil regals here, but she sees things a little differently. Mm-hmm. So she went through and she watched the pilot episode, and she's given me her thoughts on this.
Okay.
Now, she said this is a rant.
Oh, okay.
So, I enjoyed the last one because it was kind of funny, ha-ha, and funny rant. But anyway, this is a rant of things. So,
all right, let me put on my rant hat.
Okay, here we go. Theories and a crap load of rants by I'm a Freebish.
Hey. It's kind of like in school.
I know, to read
an essay in school. I know, it's very cute. Look, it makes me laugh.
She has attitude.
She does.
And I get that because I have attitude. I try not to, but I do. All right. Hey, so I promised another email, and here it is. It's long, and I prefer the help of spell check. There you go. Warning, this is mostly ranting, as everyone has already seen the pilot, so I decided to tell it through my eyes. See, that's what I was saying, people, folks.
Okay.
Some theories, if you look hard enough. Mm-hmm. All right, and here we go. When the episode starts, charming to the rescue, cue heroic music. Then there is sky falling. How cliche. Well, yeah, it's snow and Snow White. Okay.
Right.
All right. They start off with something familiar, Snow White in a glass coffin and the dwarves crying. I think I saw this in the animated feature. And you did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they started that way, is to give you kind of a base that you felt somewhat familiar with. Mm-hmm. And that's why they started there. I mean, not directly there, but in the first scene. So Charming goes in for a kiss. Nice kissing. Supposedly a dead body. Awesome. But wait, there's more. She wakes up. Oh my God. True love's kiss. Yay. Aw.
Of course. So
that's it. And I will always find you. Jot that down, kiddies. It's important. And it's also the Charming slogan. So I will always find you. That in the IRS. But we'll just leave it for the Charmings. The wedding scene is also magically happily ever after. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to paint these pictures that we've read about in all these fairy tales. And it's almost it's a cookie cutter of things. Is smiling. It's all perfect. There's probably thousands of people in there. And it's so central. Right.
Very Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
All right. So everyone is all happy. Sunshine and roses and a unicorn too. Well, back at Maleficent's castle. In truth, I thought the first 2 minutes of the show was boring, but then something magical happened. Magically, after all, yeah, think again, enter the amazing, the best, the remarkable. I'm reading an email, people. The extraordinary, the outstanding, the phenomenal. Couldn't you think of more words? I'm a, really? Couldn't you think? The phenomenal evil queen. Add astonishing somewhere there, too. It's me, Bishes, the evil queen. I thought you was going to get away from that easily, huh?
I'm sorry, did she comment about how much she really likes Regina?
I think she did.
Okay, just checking.
Did. Yes. So yeah, the evil queen busts in, kind of floats on the air, and walks in to kind of take charge, right? For me, she stole the show in those few moments at the wedding. I was like, who is this woman? It's Lana Perea. And you've got your heart stolen without even realizing it. For some reason, Don't Tread on Me was playing in my head. Birth of the evil Regal fandom. There you go. Mm-hmm. The queen struts herself on a long runway towards Snow and Charming, and she has a gift for them. Snow doesn't want it. Well, Snow, you just got to take it because she's going to give it to you anyway. Best line ever, out of your suffering will rise my victory. This is the evil Regal slogan, baby. Now, you know, it's probably very similar to the Sith kind of mentality.
Or as pirates.
Well. Yep, pirates. I want to know how Henry found out about his mother, other than the computer, how he knew he was adopted, because he looks nothing like Emma. Well, I think Mr. Gold kind of, I don't know, had a hand in that. Enter Emma in all her hotness glory, and I amen to that, if I can enter my little thought in there. Henry and Emma are both loners. Sad face. That's true. Mm-hmm. Emma was such a badass in the beginning. I read a confession on Tumblr and agree with that 100%. It read, I miss the Emma of the first couple of episodes. She was smarter and didn't need August to get stuff done. What happened to that Emma? Yeah, what happened? I just want to say this is that I watched the pilot the other day, and I said, when she got to Storybrooke, she was that person, but Storybrooke began to change her.
Yes.
I'll just set that out on the table there.
Uh-huh.
Because even when she got there, she stood out. Now, Regina wears red, which means, look at me, or danger. I'm
she wears
here
black
for business.
More than red.
But she wears the red blouse sometimes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Especially in the pilot.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But when Emma walked into that bar to meet the blind date, she was wearing red.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me, red, danger, I'm here for business, red.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on, if you look at what Emma wears, it kind of goes away from the red. She doesn't wear the red coat anymore.
Right, not as much.
She's blending in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think let's kind of take that psychologically all the way in, is that when you are somewhere to do some good, you have to be different. You have to go against the grain. But the longer she's there, the more she's kind of falling into this sleep, if you will, of Storybrooke and being a part of this cursed town. So August coming in, reminding her, wait a minute, you're here for a purpose.
Right.
You know, and look, it's like any of our lives, you know, sometimes we just get kind of caught up in the machine and, you know, so anyway, don't want to get too deep, but there you go.
No, I think it's so, good. I think Henry's also changing her too.
Yeah. But Henry kind of goes back and forth as well a little bit. So
no, what I'm saying is the more she stays, the more she cares about Henry.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
It's changing her and softening her up. It's also in the same breath, making her stronger because she's becoming more of a mama bear.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Anyway.
Emma's got fast reflexes. That's true. And yes. Love the way she struts into traffic like a boss and has a look like says, don't walk away from me, you bish. And so what happened is his car was a trap.
Whose car?
The guy that she was meeting.
Oh, yeah.
The bounty.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And so it was just interesting that he ran out to the car and she sprung the trap. Done.
Yeah.
So in
smart girl.
In a matter of speaking, it was like her daughter.
Mm.
Well, unless she got caught in the trap. But it's interesting that the father knew that kind of idea. So trapping and setting traps and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Steering wheel face bump. Jeff. That's true. And damn, Emma got some sweet digs. It's a nice view, even with the little baby blanket over the chair.
Mm-hmm.
How come she hasn't done a better living? How come she doesn't have better living conditions in Storybrooke? That's very, very interesting.
Well, because in the pilot, she's staying at Granny's place because she hasn't decided she's going to be there for any more than a week.
But it is also, from a writing perspective, it's interesting to have a savior live in somebody else's house. You don't own anything. I don't want to go biblical, but I just want to say that there's a difference when somebody great comes in, they don't have anything. And so they're living with somebody else and they don't.
Right.
So it's more of a poor existence. I think there's a lot of religions that say, you know, the poorer you are, the more you appreciate what you have. And so anyway.
And actually, let me throw something else out here just now that kind of popped in my head. So she had this amazing apartment in Boston.
Yep.
Which was kind of bare and hardly had anything in it, but it was really cool.
Right.
And she's been in Storybrooke for so long now, we haven't seen her like give up her lease, go get her possessions. Everything she has is there, which isn't much. Although, no, wait, she did grab her possessions, but we didn't see her go get them. Do you know what I mean?
True.
So how'd she get her stuff? Did she bring it with her when
she
came?
I'd have to look. It may have been shipped, but no, that's a good point. So. All right. I will continue. Ding dong. Your kid is at the door. You better answer it. And on her birthday. So
yes.
And it has what looks like the ingredients for spells on the door. Mm-hmm. And it's been asked to Adam and Edward that it was a fluke, that door was a fluke. But I'm telling you, in a blog post, I compare the two writings of the Dark Curse and the door. They're similar, but not exactly the same. So next, love her face when Henry says, "Hey, I'm your kid." She's like, "What? Surprise." Yeah, I'm a little singing telegram, but I'm actually your son. So, woohoo. I love her statement. I don't have a son. FYI, Emma, if something popped out, you can sure as heck think I remember. You should too. There you go. Some little advice from I'm a free bitch there for you, Emma. All right. Emma hyperventilates in the bathroom. And I want to point this out too. I'm not trying to do a commentary. But I do want to say that it's almost like the tree, right? So maybe she feels comfortable inside of that closed space.
Mm, yeah.
And it was interesting that she went in there and shut the door.
Because
most people would step outside maybe to get a breath of fresh air, but she actually went in. So,
yeah,
just saying. All right. She stepped into the bathroom to think while Henry is looking for juice or snooping around. Maybe he was going to play with the Rubik's Cube because he had one in his room. And she had one, too. I love how Henry wants Emma to come back with him like if she's a puppy. He's like, "You're coming home with me so I can show my stepmom my new puppy." Yeah. Yeah. Stop BSing about your superpower, Emma. We all know it's blocked by Regina's awesomeness. Well, we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts with August around. Meanwhile, back in Fairy Tale Land, Snow is preggers and talking to birds. Doesn't she have any friends that aren't animals? No, you need to see the cartoon. She talks to animals like Dr. Doolittle.
She does.
All right. While she's got Amy Winehouse hair. That's true. That's true. But actually, Ruby had a more Amy Winehouse look.
Oh, yeah, so, she totally did.
Snow wants to talk to the man who has invested in her future. We aren't supposed to know that yet. So shh. Quiet. Back to the road trip. Henry reveals the Holy Bible of fairy tales, and Emma thinks he's loco. I would too. Yeah, but there's not all of them there. August is going to put some more. Back to the Dungeon of Doom. Rumple makes his appearance. At first, I thought he was a cat. Yep. and with interesting bars. Wonder what they're made of. Interesting. Rumpel wants to know Snow's baby name. I love how he says it's the Queen's curse when it actually is his spoiler alert. So, yep. Rumpel talks about the horror of where they will be going. I would say the same thing. Starbucks looks like a place old people go and retire. Well, there's no Starbucks and all that. And she said, no wonder Henry wants out. See, there you go. So the baby is the hope. Where's Rafiki again when you need him? In 28 years, the baby will return to find them. As she wouldn't have come if Henry didn't show up on her doorstep kidnapping her. Well, that's true. Emma comes rolling into the ghost town Storybrooke. Oh, Henry, you clever child. 24 not telling you street. Well, he is. Why did the transformer spark when Emma got out of the car? Good question. I'm a freebish. I love this question. You want to know why? Let me ask you another question. Why was there an earthquake and the earth gave way when she put on the deputy badge?
Yes.
There's a reaction in the town when the savior gets there.
Yep.
It doesn't happen all the time.
No.
But when she her foot hit the ground, electrical energy went off.
Hmm.
Like, I'm here.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Fun fact, frozen in time and bad things happen to people that leave, meaning their car gets left on the side of the road while you wander aimlessly in the woods or give birth on the side of the road or crash into a sign. True. Yep.
Yep.
Dr. Hopper, you little tattletale. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And it was interesting that it is, it's almost, I don't know what story it is, but it's almost like he was a guard at the edge. He was the first person that they saw with a dog or a hound, let's say. So none of the big guns did not meet them at the edge of town.
No.
It was the doctor. So anyway, just want to throw that out.
Yeah, interesting.
Emma thinks Henry is still a little crazy. Is Granny knitting while they're having a serious meeting about the Queen? Hell yeah, she's like a boss. I think she was knitting Emma's blankie. Yep.
Yep.
You are correct.
That is correct.
Yep. And we talked to the lady that can confirm that. Mm-hmm. Snow is all emo about the curse. Just give in to the Queen. Hee hee hee. Blue Fairy shows up with a tree in tow. Only she can use it. That's a small looking tree. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine there's other parts that may be built. A little boy, maybe some bars of a cell. I don't know. Just saying. Looks like a kind of a big tree. So love Grumpy wanting to get to the fighting part. I would have loved to have see him kick ass. Yep, that's true.
Yep.
Meanwhile, back in Storybrooke where people go to die because it's a retirement town. Henry, it kind of reminds me of that town in Jaws. So.
Amityville.
Yep. Henry is a bitching about his mom. Apparently all stepmothers are evil. They always portray them as evil Cinderella, Snow White. It's like Disney taught their poor kids to hate their stepmoms. WTF is up with that.
Wasn't Disney, by the way. It was unfortunately the Grimms and other fairy tale those writer
Grimm,
dudes.
Those Grimm brothers. How does Regina know Henry is outside? Now she has superpowers, or at least was looking out a window. Oh, Sheriff Graham, I didn't see you there. When did you get here? Henry was a bit of a brat. I didn't like how he told Regina she wasn't his mother, meaning.
Mm.
Regina has a what the heck face, and Emma's all like, surprise. Graham, you're still here? And that is funny. It was kind of like, is he on patrol just at that house?
No, because remember Henry, she thought Henry was missing, right?
I know.
So Sheriff Graham was there, but was he already there for one of their Saturday council meetings?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes.
But I wasn't wanting to say that, but you said it. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to infer. That's kind of my humor. Love Regina's 180. Apple cider? Well, don't mind if I do. And boy, that town loves apples. It should be called Applebrook, not Storybrook. Applebrook. There are so many apples in that town, right, Manny? Right? There's apples everywhere.
Yes.
Anyway. Emmett wants something stronger. Bring on the whiskey. Henry's father is so going to make an appearance. Graham, you're still in the house. See, Graham, don't leave. Yeah. He's got a key.
Well, and at that time, we didn't know why he was still there. We do now.
Yep. When Graham walks out, he gives a guard gnome one of the, I'll see you. See you later. See you later, G, guard gnome. That's funny. That's funny. That guard gnome.
Guard gnome's the original GG.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. And then Louis showed up. And then the whole place just...
Okay, I'm changed. Losing it. Keep going.
Hang in there. Regina and Emma hang out in the mayor's library or something because her home office is different. Emma, how dare you? Use a coaster. That's true. Well, she's new in town. I don't know. Love the sympathy Lana brings to Regina. You see that when she talks about Henry, I think she does love Henry. And that's kind of goes back to the question in the email.
Right. Is
what caused her? There must have been a point to get her to that point. Because she has been kind of sloughed aside by a lot of people. She wanted Hansel and Gretel to stay.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're not staying here. So Emma says she better get going. And Regina's like, get out of my house before you ruin my table. Wolf could be the one that doesn't let anyone leave Storybrooke. Everyone is always crashing, having babies, and disappearing before they leave. That's true.
Yes.
Love how Geppetto only opens a hole in the tree and builds a door. They must be pressed for time. Yeah, I know. Snow is the only one leaving in the tree, and Charming is staying behind. Oh, don't worry, Snow. You're not. Emma's going to come knocking before you make it to the tree. I love how Emma is born with a puff of smoke coming toward the castle. She popped her out fast. I'm reading an email, folks.
That was a pretty quick birth.
Yep. That's true. Well, Doc was there. Doc is a
dwarf in a mine.
He's a doctor.
He's a dwarf in a mine.
He makes Doc out gas. And he helps Stealthy.
He's a dwarf in a mine.
I understand that.
When did he have time to go to med school?
If the dwarfs are listening, I am all about Doc. I know he went to medical school. I know he studied after the mines. I know that.
Okay.
Doc was a real doc.
No. The chat room is saying that he got his medical degree from a pickaxe.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He walked into that Mr. K's office, and he said, I want my credentials now, mister. Whoever Mr. K was in the fairy tale land. Colleen wasn't drinking either.
No.
This is a crazy show, people.
Keep going.
Are people still in the chat room? Yeah, they left. Oh, hang in there.
They're all laughing.
And this is only chapter one. Just wait till we get to... Okay. Emma comes because she doesn't want to miss the action of the curse. That's true. Oh, Leroy quoting Justin Timberlake, you have such a sexy smile. Yep. Oh, look, it's Graham again. See, Graham, don't leave. Hey, Ima, can you write for me forever? Can you just write all my stuff that I say, please?
Hilarious.
I don't have a lot of money, but I'll promote you. All right, so badass Emma again to the rescue. Shut the heck up, Graham. Let her do her work. Don't you know how to use a computer? Yeah, that was pretty funny. Enter Holy Mary teaching what seems to be a first grade class. I didn't paint burn houses in school. Maybe that's why I turned out like this. Oh, well. Some kid totally checked out Mary's booty. Well, you know, okay. Mary's eyebrows freak me out in the pilot because they look like they need some more mowing now. I'm just reading an email, people. Just reading an email. And you got to be nice to Ima because that's what she thinks. It's her perceivance of the pilot.
Oh, my gosh.
That wasn't the school bell. That was just a bell that announced Regina's presence. Woot. Well, okay. Mary is so naive, and Regina totally dumps those books out on purpose. I love it. How did Mary get the Holy Bible? the book. Well, I think Mr. Gold gave it to her.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Mary Margaret. Here's a book. Here's a book of fairy tales. How old are you? You haven't changed since 28 years. So, all right. Henry's at the castle. Q Snow going into labor. Or what a joy. Breathe, Snow, breathe. All right. Doc is actually a doctor in fairy tale land. See? She asked a question, but I'm answering. Yes. And if there are any dwarves in listening that are guests, just send a carrier pigeon or something. Let us know that this is the way it happens. Doc was really a doc. I know this.
Okay.
How did the queen get there so fast? Because she's awesome and has a freak badass carriage of doom with a puff of black smoke behind it. Or maybe it needed a tune-up. I'm just saying. I don't know. When I had my car with black smoke, I had to go get it fixed. Anyway, another slogan of once best chance. Q badass daddy killing people with a baby in hand. Damn, Charming's guards suck. Well, but then it makes him look better. The baby is learning swordsmanship from Poppy. Yeah, see? How did they know the tree would transport Emma out of fairy tale land? Well, the blue fairy said so.
Yeah.
And you got to trust a blue fairy.
Right. She wouldn't lie to you.
I do. All the time.
Yeah, she wouldn't lie.
She sprinkles blue magic and stuff for me.
She did. She did the other day, too.
Me and blue fairy are like this, and then my fingers aren't crossed. They're like stretched as far as they can be. Anyway. Emma/Henry moment. Emma to bring balance to the force. Wait, isn't that Star Wars? Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also Once Upon a Time. Snow just gave birth and she's walking around. Well, she's strong. Inner queen after everyone has done her bidding. Love scenes go with the stable boy scene, but this time Regina is in the place of Cora. True. Yep, that's absolutely true. The reflection of the scenes.
Right.
What would have happened if Regina had found Emma? Would she have killed her? That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
Very good, Ima. Gold star. Yep. Gold star. Because Regina didn't kill Snow at the time.
No, she didn't.
She said, I always want to keep her under my thumb. Very, very good question.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Snow asked. Well, I can't tell where old people go to die. And are in bed by 9. Oh, no. Emma rings Henry back to Regina, and Regina doesn't give 3 craps about what Emma has to say and puts her in her place. Oh, my boo just threatened somebody. I'll destroy you if it's the last thing I do. Yep. Emo Henry, Regina's emotion is shown in the mirror. That's actually a great shot for holding the book in the mirror.
Yeah.
Enter Ruby and Granny fighting, and Granny basically calling Ruby a whore. Gotta love the family. Well, see, Ruby's misunderstood. She really is.
Yeah.
Ruby checks out Emma like really bad. Could be the wolf in her. Oh, yeah. Getting some fashion tips. She did wear the red jacket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So red, you know.
Yes.
Enter Mr. I'm just reading email, folks. Enter Mr. Pimp with a limp. Now, that's about as good. Is Ima still in the chat room?
She is.
Look, this. Okay. This is probably better than Minnie Jenny. Mr. Pimp with a limp. How much can I pay you to hire me to write for me?
I am. I'm totally dying. I'm sorry. That is hilarious.
All right. And he knows who Emma is. I knew he had a memory from day one. He had his memory from day one.
Yes.
Mr. Pimp. Mr. Pimp with a limp owns everything. And Regina runs the town. It's a mafia. Well, it is. It is kind a mafia. Of is. Emma's key has a swan in it. Is that a clue? Maybe. Clock moves. Yay. Awesome episode rewatch. And this is how I'm a freebish sees it. Excellent work. Excellent work. Love it.
That is awesome.
And the evil regals cheer. Come on now.
Yes, they do.
Give it up for Ima. Come on.
She's getting a nice little standing ovation.
All right.
In the chat room now. Oh my God, that was epic.
I meant it about hiring you to write for me. Okay. All right, here we go. Spidey Hawk email. Okay, here's a hypothetical question for you. And hey, maybe we can pull the rest of the podcast fan base too. I think we can. I think they're all here.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm very happy about that. If Once Upon a Time were to be canceled before a satisfying ending was made for the series, would you be willing to read the continuation of the story in a comic book series? They've done this before with Buffy, Jericho, and other series. Coming soon, Smallville, Season 11, the comic. Seriously. And I know if ABC did cancel Once Upon a Time, I would hope the writers would take to this format to finish out their series, if Disney allowed them. Besides, Disney owns Marvel Comics, so it's not likely they wouldn't have somewhere to go if they wanted to do this. Anyway, just my random thought. Would like to hear your two cents on the matter. That would be a huge leap for TV watchers to go to comic books or illustrated novels. But maybe they might. Maybe.
I think there are actually more people interested in graphic novels and comics, so to speak, than we think there are. I know a number of people who I would never in a million years have thought were into that. Totally into it. Yeah. So it's a possibility.
Okay. But let's not think that way. Please don't.
Yeah, no.
My heart just went, I don't know, it stopped there for a moment. All right. This is Karen in Maryland. Hi, Karen. If you are listening. Hi, guys. I had a thought. There's been a lot of talk about Mr. Gold and whether he's evil or not. Whose side is he really on, or is he just out for himself, playing all sides against one another to the end? The other day, I rewatched Harry Potter 7B. I think that's the last one.
Yeah, I believe it is.
For 6.5 books, J.K. Rowling had us guessing and hating Snape's character. Then at the end, he's the key to the whole story. Sorry to those who haven't yet to live the world of Potter. Well, okay. I can't help but think Mr. Gold will be the same kind of character. There seems to be a lot of parallels being drawn already. I'll try to listen to the live show for your thoughts. Big love, Kay, Karen, and Marilyn. And if you're on the chat room, hello?
Yes.
Hopefully. Excellent. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
I actually agree. And we've mentioned this before, is that people that seem evil have good in them.
Yes.
Thus, Star Wars and Vader, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in the end, they can have the opportunity to fix it or to do something better.
Redemption.
And I do think that Mr. Gold wants to fix that initial Zoso mistake.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's the crux of the whole matter. See, look, Lost came down to who is it all about?
Yeah.
Because there's all these characters, all these people, all this stuff. But then the question is, who is this all about? Now, I know that the Evil Queen wants to flex her curse muscle, but I think as Rumpelstiltskin kind of watched, he saw this opportunity.
She's a pawn in his game.
His issue and to reclaim his son and to be the father that he wished he would have been in the beginning. And he knew that when he went for that power, he traded everything away. He gave it all away.
Yeah.
So, but I think in all of this, everybody else is going to be redeemed or have the opportunity to as well.
Right.
And I think the end after or during the curse break, there's going to be that moment where he resolves that. So,
yeah, I would agree.
Anyway, great email. And yes, I think there is still good in him. All right. Here is last email. Yay. And there's not another one from I'm a Freebish, so that's sad. We only got one. This is from Larry. So, Colleen and Jeff, I'm playing catch up. And all the old podcasts have forgiven me. This has been answered. In several of the podcasts, you wonder why Henry hasn't figured out who Mr. Gold is. Remember that he figured out who Snow White was from the picture, same for Prince Charming. He had the same scar. He got Jiminy Cricket and Archie from his occupation.
Right.
But he'd have none for these for Rumpelstiltskin, Mr. Gold. If there are any pictures of Rumpel in the book, his appearance, once he's a dark one, would be different than he looks as Mr. Gold. And there are no pawnbrokers in Henry's book. So I don't find it surprising at all that he hasn't figured it out yet. And that's true. And maybe it's blocked.
Well, and that's the other thing is, are there any pictures of Mr. Gold in there? We haven't seen any. Or, I mean, Rumpelstiltskin, sorry. Rumpelstiltskin. Right, we haven't seen any right. So far.
Okay. A new topic, at least not one I've heard discussed. What exactly do you think Emma is going to do to break the curse?
Well.
Okay. I don't think she'll run around kissing everyone.
No.
My guess is it will be that she chops down the apple tree. Interesting. There are lots of apple references in the show. Yes, there are. By gum, there are all kinds of apples everywhere. Regina has had that tree since she was a little girl. Interesting, okay, and somehow seems to follow her around. And there is something about something important when you're a child,
mm-hmm.
and it still kind of calls you back. You know, it's interesting that a song or a TV show or a doll or something can take you back. So, true. Cutting down the tree, she started. And then that did rile Regina quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, one more thing. Speaking of the curse, I don't think breaking the curse is going to happen in the very last show. I mean, think about it. She breaks the curse, and now what? It doesn't mean that everything reverts back to the way it was before. That hasn't happened with any other curses that were broken. The characters need to move forward from there. So she breaks a curse and then spends season after season getting characters back to their happy endings. I don't think it's just automatic. For the matter, breaking the curse might not even return them to Fairytale Land. She'll have to find happy endings for them in our world. Food for thought, Larry. That's a good point. We talked about little bits here and there, and I think there is some validity in what you're saying about the part of what Emma's doing
mm-hmm.
is to rejoining people, finding connections. The Hansel and Gretel finding their father.
Right.
And
Ashley
that kind of thing.
Sean.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
So, finding things, finding people, connecting people. And I do think that it's interesting that with Snow White, she forgot who she was. And in a way, Emma has forgot who she was.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's this idea that even though you say you're something or someone says you're something, after a point in time, you forget. And
yeah, that's true.
So not only did Snow forget her love for Charming when she drank the potion, but she forgot who she was, period. So that's why Lee and the boys had the problem. And then yes. They had to call the intervention, a dwarf revention, if you will.
Dwarf revention.
So that's all we got. That's well, it. I know that there has been some discussion about some filming days coming, but I'm not going to officially say it until it's officially announced.
Right.
And even though I'm hearing it from different sources here and there, I'll just say I've heard it from different sources, but I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yes.
So until it's official.
That's true.
So we have what happened to Frederick tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I watched 7:15 again, and there were so many cool moments. Of course, I had my August discussion moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my grumpy, excellent little monologue about pain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was just, there's a lot of really, really good stuff.
Yeah,
in
no,
there.
It's a great episode.
Hi there, this is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
That's it. I want everyone to have a great, great evening, great weekend, and we will, we'll see what happens next week. We might not have another regular episode, but for sure we'll have another live show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I have something that I'm want to work out some details before I spring it on everybody. So that'll come next weekend.
I sound so mysterious when I say this. There are some things coming that are really going to be cool and different, but I can't talk about it. It sounds cheesy, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
So once it's out, then we'll talk about it. But a lot of things in the hopper. Things are really starting to kind of fall into place. So it's very exciting. The one thing I did want to say is this, is if you have subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, if you have rated and reviewed the podcast on iTunes, I thank you, thank you, thank you for that. If you have not, I want to do my best to ask you, all of you, to have 100% either subscribed, and if you don't have an iPhone or something, that you can still use iTunes. If your computer can handle it, I know that sometimes you can't, but if it can, please subscribe and have it uploaded to iTunes and then rate and review it. I would ask for a 5-star. I'm asking. So that's what I really want to do. I like 100%. 100% of everyone who's listening. And that would be really important to me. So anyway, we had a great time. So awesome. Just fantastic. So I'm going to wish you guys a good evening. Thank you so, so much for dropping by. It really means a lot. And I think everybody had a great time. So, and we will talk more about it. So if you have questions about what to do here and there, please send me an email at feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Yes.
And we will talk to you soon. So we'll be doing a little rerun watching tomorrow. And you guys take care and we'll see you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Stay well. Stay safe.
Yes.
Big love to everybody. I really mean that. You guys need it. And we do too. So take care, guys. Okay?
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.